Welcome back to another night of Sheer. My name is Eli Nyman. I always say I cannot replace the Maggid Sheer, but I will be subbing in instead. We're learning Leila Nishmas, Chaim Baruch Ben Zalel, Parabas Pinchas, Miriam Leva Bas Aharon. May the Sheer be a refuah shleima to all those who are sick. May the Sheer be a schus for Eretz Yisrael and for Klal Yisrael, especially in these trying times, which we might speak a little bit about. So this week's parasha is Parashas Bo, and of course, in the overview of Bo, Moshe comes before Hashem and says to Hashem, "You please let the Jews go." And of course, at this point, Hashem has already hardened Paro's heart, and the last three Makos take place. The way to remember it, by the way, there's a Dvar Torah. Bo is Gematria 3, so we have Arba, Choshech, and Makas Bechoros. Hashem explicitly tells Moshe, "Go to Paro, I harden his heart." Arbe, Choshech, Makas Bechoros. And of course, Hashem made it so that Paro will not let the Jews go, and he lets the Jews go. So there are a couple of what I call themes within the parasha. One of them is the idea of Hashem hardening Paro's heart and not letting the Jews go, which is something I was thinking about giving shir on, but instead I decided to switch topics. So towards the end of the parsha, it actually talks about tefillin, but if you look at the Ramban, I actually did look it up. The Ramban talks about the idea that the 10 Makos were a demonstration of Hashem's providence in the world, that Hashem runs the world. When I saw the Ramban, I looked at it a couple of days ago. He actually talks about the idea that there were people who thought that Hashem, Chas Shalom, doesn't run the world. And so this is the very idea of it. I'm sure other Rishonim and Achronim say something similar. Namely, what is the idea behind the Makos? Hashem runs the world. There are even some Rishonim and Achronim that talk about the Midah Keneged Midah. What was the whole point and idea of the specific Makos? The idea of the Makos in its totality is Hashem has an active role in running the world. There's an active role in running the world. And so, for the next several minutes, or maybe we might go a little longer, we're going to talk about Hashgacha. Hashgacha Pratis, we'll talk a little bit about Hashgacha Kvalis. In the Archas Yashar of Chaim Kanievsky, he has a piece, he has an essay, he has a chapter dealing with Hashgacha Pratis, and he talks about Hashgacha Pratis for Tzaddikim. Although I could have done that, I decided to go a different route and go to the Ramchal. Derech Hashem, the Ramchal, and where he talks for many, many pages about Hashgacha, Hashgacha in the world, Hashem running the world. And so we're going to do it. We're going to be skipping around. There may be some pauses. And true to my nature, I have the sefer. And in this context, what we're going to be doing is if you're with me on Zoom, you're actually going to see it. And you could follow along and we'll talk about it. I have the English translation from Sefaria, but it just so happens to be that the English itself is pretty difficult. And so I'm actually going to be explaining the English as well. So this is the Ramchal, Derech Hashem, talking about Hashgacha in the world. In the first chapter, the first part of Derech Hashem, he talked about Hashem himself, the whole essence of Hashem. What is Hashem? What is man's purpose in this world? What is Hashem? He then moves on, as you can see, part two on divine providence. He does not specifically talk about Egypt, but he does talk about at some point the time period from Abraham to Har Sinai, which we'll go to. So I'm going to read, and believe it or not, even though it's in English, it's actually fairly difficult. It's a fairly difficult piece, so I'm going to explain. It is well known, and of course, you could follow along. You could open up a Derech Hashem for yourself. You can follow on the screen. I know everyone's muted, so you'll follow along with me. It is well known and clear that all the creatures that were created, both the higher ones and the lower ones, were surely created because the supreme wisdom saw a need and a function for the general purpose of the world. Okay, so a couple things. First of all, higher and lower, he means like malachim is higher and like ants and little leaves, grass, those are the lower. Supreme wisdom is the Ramchal's way of saying Hashem. Okay? It's a little bit of an interesting term. He probably got it from Kabbalah, and I don't know exactly where this comes from, but the supreme wisdom means Hashem's wisdom. So Hashem created a lot of things because there was a need for them in this world. And all their natural axioms and properties were set and embedded according to what the supreme wisdom decreed to be appropriate, according to the intention that it intended for that creature. So whatever Hashem wanted for that creature, that's what he made for them. However, for that very reason itself that they were created, it is also fit that they be preserved the whole time, that they have function for the general creation, as I have written. So if you created the creatures, there's a purpose for the creatures. And therefore, the master, blessed be he, Hashem, that created all these creatures, will also not stop from supervising over them to preserve them in the state that he wants them to be. So he creates the creatures and he supervises over them to some degree to have them as he wants them. In other words, what's the point of a spider or ant? He makes sure that the spider and ants function as he sees fit. There's actually a story in Tanakh with David HaMelech where a spider saves his life. And so that's the idea. Hashem ensures that the species as a whole, which he'll explain later, is preserved. He'll talk about specifically, is there a more specific providence? But certainly to some degree, Hashem watches over the species and sees that it functions the way it's supposed to. His providence, may he bless over all levels of creation. However, we have already prefaced in part one, chapter five, the spiritual realm, at the beginning of all the creatures are the ethereal beings, and from them do the physical things unfold. Okay, so I had to look this up, ethereal. In the original Hebrew that I looked at, it said Nephdalim. I think he means the spiritual beings, okay? So there is a certain ruchnius, this is Ramchal talking. There's a certain ruchnius in the world, and from these ruchnius ideas, the physical unfolds. And all the physical things and all their components are according to that which is forwarded to them from those powers in their various aspects. And there's nothing big or small among the physical things that does not have a cause and root in the ethereal beings according to the various aspects. In other words, the physical comes from these spiritual ideas. And the master, may he be blessed, meaning Hashem, is certainly overseeing over all these matters according to how he created them, meaning first upon the ethereal beings and upon all their processes according to what they actually are. So Hashem watches over these things. And likewise, does he also oversee the appointees that he appointed over those which physically exist, as we mentioned here, there to preserve them and their missions and to continually give them the power to accomplish their deeds. So I think he's talking about the idea that there are malachim that he appoints over these various creatures. His providence over the human species. However, since the human species is differentiated from all the other species and that he is given free choice and the ability to acquire that which is perfection or deficiency for himself, and in this regard acts and impacts and is not impacted upon, the oversight over him must also be differentiated from the oversight over the other species. In other words, Hashem watches over people in a different way than he watches over other species. Presumably, he means at a much higher hashgacha. He will speak about later the difference between a Jew and a non-Jew, but that's what he means. The human beings have a higher hashgacha than of the various creatures in the world. Behold, it is necessary to oversee and observe the components of his actions and to furnish him with conditions that correspond to his ways and are like the fruit of his deeds. So it comes out that all his actions and their outgrowths are overseen. Hashem watches human beings, what they do, and that in return, he is supervised according to that which is appropriate for the outgrowth of these actions with specificity, measure for measure, as we shall write further. In other words, Hashem watches over what's going on. Mida kenege mida. He's watching people in general. He's talking about people in general now about how they act and deals with them. Mida kenege mida. And that is something not relevant to other species that are acted upon and do not act independently, so that they are not fit for perfection except for that which is for that species as a whole, according to that source that it has as its source. In other words, people are watched higher than the other species, for there is surely oversight to preserve that root and its extensions according to that which is nature, its axiom, and its root determined it should be. But the human species, the individuals of which act and impact, as we have written, must certainly be overseen individually according according to what their actions cause them, no more and no less. And we will help expand the explanation of this thing further with God's help. We're going to explain more. Okay, we're going to be skipping around. We're not going to be doing the whole thing. We're going to be doing key parts. So we're looking for the part where he talks about the people from Shem to from Abraham to Har Sinai. As you can see, he has a chapter about personal providence as well, but we're not going to be doing that because we're focusing on the Egyptians more. What was the idea behind the Egyptians? The Ramchal definitely talks about personal kashkacha pratis, but that's not what we're going to be focusing on right now. So as we're skipping around, we'll talk a little bit about the general idea of, we'll give a little introduction. So he talks about the idea that there's certain types of hashkacha, and some are more general than others. Before Matan Torah, it was a different type of hashkacha as opposed to post-Matan Torah. Okay, so here he talks about, as we're skipping around, he talks about Adam Arishon, and he goes through it. The final dream of the nations of the world until the giving of the Torah. And you should know that just like the collective offspring of Adam are divided into root trees along with their branches, this certain type of spiritual thing, as we have written, so too is each and every tree distinguished by its main branches from which all its parts follow and divide further. In truth, the general branches of the tree of our father Abraham, Olav HaShalom, which are those that went out of Egypt and became an Israelite nation among which the land of Israel is divided. And all those who come after them are considered part of the general branches. Okay? We're going to skip around more. The portion given to the nations of the world. Nevertheless, the decree was not to destroy these nations. Rather, the decree was that they should remain on the lowly level that we mentioned. That is the level of Adam HaRishon who sinned. And this is a type of man that would not be fit to exist if Adam had not sinned. Yet his sinning caused him to exist. However, since he has an aspect of man, even though he is lowly, Hashem wanted that they have that which is similar to the true mankind. And that is, they have a soul similar to the souls of the Jews, even though its level is much lower than the levels of the souls of the Jews. That they have commandments through which they also acquire physical and spiritual success according to that which is appropriate for their condition. And these are the Noahide laws. And note that all the things that were prepared to be like this in the case that Adam would sin, like all the other damages and punishments which were created conditionally, like the sage's statement, may they be blessed. He goes on to continue about various ways of hashgacha. We'll just speak briefly about the general idea and apply a little bit to current events. So, obviously, according for the Ramchal and various other Rishonim and Achronim, it is very clear there is hashgacha in the world. As we mentioned at the beginning of Shir, according to Ramban, that's why the Makos were in the world to begin with. The Hashem gave the Makos to the Egyptians to show Hashem runs the world. When we do certain things, when we celebrate Pesach, for example, and when we daven, when a lot of these things, we're showing Hashem still runs the world. Hashem still runs the world. In a couple months, few months, we're going to be having Purim coming up. Purim is also an example of Hashem runs the world, even in Galus. That was the whole idea of Esther. And I think it applies to current events today. Some of our rabbis on the shir talked about it. I think it behooved me to talk about it as well. We live in a very interesting world. I don't think I have to expand too much. The situation is massive in Eretz Yisrael, around the world. We never know. At the end of the day, I'm not going to talk politics. I'm not going to say something which I don't know. But what I do know is that Hashem runs the world. Whatever is going on, however detailed, however painful or pleasurable it is Hashem. Every single detail that happens, it is Hashem. When we read through the Makos, when we have Pesach in a few months, we are reminded, we have Purim in a few months. These are the Chagim that we are reminded, Hashem runs the world, no matter how great, no matter how painful, no matter what's going on. And it's the thought that we remember that Hashem runs the world, that hopefully we'll see B'Soros Tovos, Mashiach, Meher Amin. This is Eli Nyman, wishing everybody, Baruch HaSlach in their learning, live Torah, love Torah, learn Torah, have a wonderful night. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.